You braid my hair, babe?
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be like a slumber party. We'll sit up late at night, braid my hair, have a pillow fight, make group beer floats. I don't know what happens at a slumber party.
Sounds like a good slumber party to me. I'm
did
down.
Did I just plan a really good slumber party?
Sounds like it.
Sounds like it.
Hey, the podcast already.
Shit. I'm Javi Luna, husband, father, and stand-up comedian. I've been fortunate enough to spend over a decade traveling the country, making audiences laugh. But my favorite audience is the one right here at home in Corpus Christi, Texas. My wife and co-host, Jen. Once a week, we sit down and have a chat. There's other podcasts like this, but this one's mine. And that makes it original. Funny boys. Y'all still podcasting?
That's what he said.
Yeah, we still podcasting. Louie, it was just senior skip week last week.
Yes.
That's all it was. Welcome out to Original Gordito Podcast, episode 147.
Yeah, you did it.
I still remember. How y'all doing? Y'all remember me? I'm Javi, your host. This is my wife.
Hi. Jen.
We're running on just the we found the tripod. The case of the missing tripod was solved.
Yes.
But
where was it?
It was in the trunk of my car.
Where everything usually ends up.
I mean, old habits die hard.
I essentially not lived out of my car.
I always had a place to live.
Yeah.
But when I was single and I had my apartment, but the majority of my shit was in my car.
So you're lucky your car never got broken into.
Yeah, I guess. I never thought of it.
Yeah. See me and my true crime.
Yeah, you see? I just don't put negativity like that out into the world. That's how that happens. You know? How you doing, Mrs. Luna?
I'm good.
Are you?
I am.
2 days left.
Yes, it's crazy.
In your work year before you get your well deserved time off.
Yes. And the kids the other day, right? They were talking about trying to guess how old I was.
Uh-huh.
And someone said, "You're like 24, right?" I was like, "Oh, bless your heart, 24. Yeah. I don't think I'd be 24 again, though."
Yeah.
And I was like, "You're close. I'm 42. And they're like, "42? And I was like, "Yes.
Look at you guessing 24. I mean, that's cute. They thought that you were that young. Uh-huh. But also, it's kind of weird that the misunderstanding of how long it takes to become like an assistant principal.
Right,
like,
for sure.
Or even let alone just a teacher. I mean, you don't find too many 24-year-old teachers.
Yeah.
Even depending how long they took to finish their school and get their license and all.
Mm-hmm.
All that good stuff.
Yeah. But it was definitely cute for the ego. It was a nice little boost.
What is the youngest principal you've ever seen? Because you still have to put in, you can't just go straight from college to being an administrator. You have to put some classroom time in.
Yes. First, right? Typically the way it would work is you have, you graduate college, 22? And then you go to the classroom for 3 years, so 25. Okay. And then you have to have 2 years assistant principal, two or three. So 28. You could be like a principal,
right?
But like at least 25 to be an assistant principal. If you're really just gung ho, yeah,
on the track. But it's probably okay because Javi's got to play devil's advocate.
Of course,
it could 24 be done? Yes, of course, because some people graduate from high school a year early.
Absolutely.
Some people finish undergraduate degree. In three years. If you do summers, Maymesters, if you're taking 21 hours.
Yeah.
Which I did. Did you, what was the biggest semester?
I never went crazy like that. No.
No?
No, because I work. So
I never did 21. I did 18. Mm-hmm. Was the biggest.
I think 18 was probably the biggest.
And it was, I did 18 while working. saving up money for my wedding.
Yeah.
And I damn near lost my mind.
I think I only did 18 once.
Yeah.
Because I was like, no, I can't do that in work. Yeah.
But possible. So 24 years old, I retract my previous statement, unnamed child. It is possible to be a 24-year-old teacher. Unlikely.
Very unlikely. Yes. But yes, it is possible.
Assistant principal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's the end of the school year officially. I know we talked about we teased it.
Yes.
With the unofficial graduation
episode.
As we go home from each other, we will. I don't know what the word.
It is very sad though. It is. One of my kids, it was so cute. He came up with a big old poster board and he wanted to do like a petition.
Petition.
Yeah. And he was like, so if I get at least 100 signatures, I can spray you with shaving cream on the last day of school.
You?
Yeah, me personally.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dope. Yeah, do it. Get 100 signatures. We'll do it. I don't care. Like, I mean, this eighth grade, it's their last year. Uh-huh. Like, why not have a little fun?
But I thought they had said no.
So they did put the kibosh. My school, yes, my school specifically put the kibosh on it.
So
But when I mentioned that it is kind of like an unofficial tradition, and like sometimes even the teachers will buy shaving cream and give it to the kids, then they were like, well, okay, well, if it happens, it happens kind of situation.
Yeah, I feel like, I get it. I get it as an administrator. Why? Because there's a potential for it to get out of hand.
Absolutely.
Very 100%. Easily, particularly with the population at your school.
Exactly. Yes.
But I also get the argument of, man, they're kids.
And they want to do something kid-like.
This generation of kids has already been denied so many freaking different just experiences that we had growing up.
Right.
Like just being able to wander around
the neighborhood. City.
Like no one lets their kids. Like I doubt anybody here just lets their kid hop on a bus.
Oh, for sure. No.
You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't happen. Just whatever. Like, but that being one of them, right? Like the shaving cream on the school.
They want to do a kid-like activity. So I'm like, heck yeah, I'm down for it. Get your 100 signatures. Yeah. Come see me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Hopefully. It's not I'm going to come back to bite y'all on the butt. There. A horrible shaving cream riot. The news likes to make everything's a riot.
Yes.
Now you know one of the local high schools had a riot. That wasn't riots. That was three fights that broke out in the cafeteria at the same time. Not exactly a riot.
Yeah.
All right. But riots are like all the damn kids.
Yeah.
Like fucking going crazy all at the same time. Like. Teachers hiding
under
desks. which you know, I hate to be the one to point it out, but you know, y'all are vastly outnumbered. I
mean, we really are.
It really is possible. I mean, if they wanted to.
If they ever banded together, we would be fine.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's where the safety is. their inability to organize. And
exactly.
And so someone's always, and you know, there's always a couple goody two shoes. We need those goody two shoes in the
for
world.
For sure.
Shit and check. Cause it's like, nah, man, it ain't never going to work. Someone's going to say some shit.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. I'm curious. We'll find out Wednesday.
Last day of school.
Yeah.
And then there's some, our boys already had their last day. They're actually here for their first week of summer.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in summer mode.
Yes, definitely.
Which is, it's been a very weird vibe here at the Luna household this weekend because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're done. They're checked out. I think our oldest got to go to summer school. But like summer school now isn't even like how summer school was.
Yes.
When I was a kid, at least not in their district. Mm-hmm. Like he's going for like 2 weeks, Monday through Thursday, from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
That's how they're doing it at ours.
And only until he gets the grade that he needs to get.
Oh, wow. No, that's not how they're doing it at ours.
So like if he just needs to like retake a test, uh-huh. and all of a sudden that brings him back up to passing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you're good. You can go.
Oh, wow.
Like,
that's crazy.
He doesn't have to stay the whole time.
Okay.
So
no, that's
so
not how they do it for us. He's
pretty stoked about that. He pulled it out. He's not a grade guy.
Like no.
Our Joshy, you know, he's happy with the bare minimum as far as grades are.
Yes.
Which I'm oddly okay with because mm-hmm. I was major grade pressure growing up, and it doesn't dictate success in life.
No, not at all.
You know, and I put a lot of stock in my grades when I was younger.
Sure.
So I'm kind of glad that he isn't, but I wish he would just like not cut it so close.
Yeah, like he seems to skate by every year.
Yeah, he just makes it happen.
Yeah,
there at the end.
And it's only because like it's not that he's like horrible in school or anything. It's just mm-hmm. he doesn't turn in the assignments.
Right. Well, like, as a father, that's the annoying part.
It's yeah. Like, so that's like, what look, sucks.
If you just weren't that bright of a kid,
exactly,
and couldn't get the work done, like I would be okay with it.
Right. But it's just, he just doesn't turn in the assignments. So, yeah. So crazy.
So they're done.
Yeah.
Louis, our little bookworm, he brought home his honor roll for the year. And so he got his Legend of Zelda, came out with a new game like a week before school. So that's what he wanted.
Uh-huh.
And that's fine with me because that's going to keep him occupied for quite a while because it's a tough game.
It is.
So they're already out. And so Lindsay, in her mind, is
it's summer.
Yeah. My bubbies are here.
Uh-huh.
It's summer. She wanted to go play. It was Memorial Day today.
Yes.
She wanted to go play in the sprinkler.
It was so cute.
And she's like,
this is summer.
Let's go to the pool, Dad. Like, but wait. It's their summer, not our summer.
No, our summer hasn't started yet.
What a cruel trick they played giving y'all 2 days this week after the 3 day weekend.
Yeah. The kids go back for 2 days and then the mm-hmm. teachers one more after that. And then that's it. And then admin stay another week.
And nothing's going to get done. I don't even think I'm subbing these next 2 days.
I would be surprised if teachers were out unless they were checked out too. And they were like, they're done for summer too. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe.
Who knows? Why'd you stop drinking? Why'd you stop talking while I'm drinking?
Oh, I don't know. That was all I had to say about that part.
Okay. I'm in drinking. You stopped talking.
No, that was all I'd say. Like maybe they checked out too, and so maybe you might have the opportunity to sub if you really wanted to.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm good. I'm good. Ain't nobody put. Listen, shaving cream has not touched this face in a long time, and it's gonna stay that way.
Woo!
Stay that way. You know, as someone in Waco.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, actually, she didn't say nothing about the beard. She said the hair.
Okay.
I don't know why. Sometimes I say shit on stage, and I don't. You know, I mean 99% of it, and I don't know. Let's talk about something about. I think I said something about I was debating whether or not to cut it.
Really?
It was like, but I said it so that I could get into a particular joke, and I don't remember what the joke was.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not. I forgot that I said it, and this person messaged me later that night. There's an old friend here from Corpus. She's uh-huh. a bartender, or not bartender. Anyway, she used to come to a lot of shows, and she lives in Waco now, and she came out to the show, and afterwards she's like, I've known you through all your different little hairstyles. This is the best. Don't cut it. It's great. It's beautiful. It's healthy. I was like, I do need to go get a trim, an occasional trim, but yeah.
That was funny.
But yeah.
Your hair's not.
Yeah. I don't think anticipate, unless it just like all starts to like fall out. I don't anticipate ever. Like, like chopping it off again.
I'm curious to see how long it grows.
Yeah, me too. Me yeah. too. I'm definitely down to to rock a willy braid. Maybe not the pigtails, but like just a straight up.
Yeah, I can see that.
Long braid. I've braided it a few times. It's hard for me. I don't got the dexterity and then to go back there and do all that. So
I could braid it for you.
You'll braid my hair, babe?
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be like a slumber party. We'll sit up late at night, braid my hair, have a pillow fight, make root beer floats. I don't know what happens at a slumber party.
Sounds like a good slumber party to me. I'm down.
Did I just plan a really good slumber party?
Sounds like it.
Sounds like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Watch rent a New Kids on the Block music video, concert video. Did they have those? I felt like they had those.
They had those.
On VHS, right?
I had one.
Live from Tokyo.
Oh, I had like one. That. And I watched that sucker over and over and over again. Yes. Obsessed.
Do you remember what it was called? Like, where was the concert?
No, I don't right now. No. I might still even have it somewhere.
I used to dig the concert VHS back in the day. I don't feel like that's a thing anymore.
I don't think so.
Like, I think now they have them like live events in like the metaverse or like some random stuff.
But did you think it's because they would rather you come out to the show?
I don't know. But you used to be able to like go and like go to the video store and rent a concert, mm-hmm. and watch a whole concert.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure maybe it's all for showing my lack of my old man-ness. Maybe it's just like all on YouTube now. It's like, why don't they still have the VHS? because Grandpa, there's this thing called the internet now. Happens to be what our podcast is on. And you don't have to do that anymore. And you can watch pretty much any concert now you want, probably.
I wonder. We should look into it. Do kids do that?
Do they? I can't afford to go to the concert. Like, let me watch it.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I haven't heard anyone say that. Mm. So I don't know if that's a thing anymore.
Yeah.
All I hear is, I couldn't go to that concert. So.
Right.
I don't know. Interesting. I'm curious now.
Dig it. My favorite, of course, I used to have John Mayer's Any Given Thursday.
The VHS?
It was DVD.
Excuse me.
Yeah, uh-huh. I used to watch that.
Nice.
I thought that was probably my number one go-to. Just in the background while I was studying or whatever. Yeah, man.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I mean, John Mayer anytime is a great time.
He's a vibe, man. Like, people, I think people don't realize. I caught on early,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, a lot of dudes, like, at first, like, because he came out, like, super pop. And,
yes.
And you know, you're bad, you're mine, you're mine. Like, you know, sounded like, you know, I get it. I get where the hate comes from. Like, I understand it. But even, like, what I attribute to a friend of mine, I had a sweet mate,
mm-hmm.
That was he played guitar too, and so we sometimes would get together and just, you know,
jam
whatever. You play a song, I play a song, you know kind of try to follow along, kind of thing. Neither of us were particularly good, especially back then. he started playing a song called Comfortable. And I hadn't heard it. You know, all I knew of John Mayer was what was on the radio, which at that time was No Such Thing. That was a, I wanna run to the house in my hands. He kind of sounded like Cartman, right? from South Park. When you think about like those songs and the other one, your body's a wonderland,
right?
Which is like, okay, it's cool. Like,
I like both of those songs. So
no, they. Later on, I was able to appreciate, but on surface level, I didn't like those songs at first. Like, because they were on the radio too much. They just,
it was poppy. It was right. Overplayed.
It was overplayed. And so he started showing me some of the deep cuts, some of his first album. And then that was during the time of like LimeWire.
Right? Ooh, LimeWire.
And what I found out from him was just, you know, I started kind of deep diving, going down the rabbit hole, finding. So one thing that John Mayer was really big on when he was starting out was he used to encourage people to record him at his shows. And so there was all sorts of content of little him playing different shows in Atlanta. That's where he got his real start at. He went. Welcome to the John Mayer episode. As I started to learn about, sometimes once you start to learn about people, then you appreciate them as artists a little more.
Oh, 100%.
Right? His journey and like how this guy. So one, I learned through listening to all his deep cuts, I learned that he was a hell of a guitar player. It's like just how complex some of his guitar playing was. It was clear like, okay, this guy's not just, he's not just a face, some cute
right,
guy
like he actually has skill.
Slapped on a music video and put a guitar in his hand. Like this guy wrote these songs. The lyrics are crazy deep, you know, and the guitar parts are, you know, stellar to find out like, okay, like this guy started playing when he was like 13.
Wow.
You know, basically locked himself in his basement with copies of Stevie Ray Vaughan albums and taught himself guitar through that, and then got to got good enough that he started playing at a young age, but then got into Berklee College of Music, which is like the top music school in the country, and then dropped out.
Why?
Because I forgot the reason exactly that he said, if he ever said it exactly, but it wasn't going to lead him to what he wanted to do.
Sure.
So he moved to Atlanta, Georgia. It's where the song Why Georgia
comes from.
And he started just gigging there. And I think he started a group together with another guy, and they used to play at this place called Eddie's Attic. So a lot of his early recordings were recorded there, Eddie's Attic. And then he showcased at South by Southwest, got signed to whatever record label it was at that time that signed him first, and off he went. And so his first album, called Inside Wants Out, was recorded in his dorm room back in Berklee, including that song Comfortable. When I found out that he had recorded that song in his dorm room, it has a string part, and he actually recruited a couple string players there from campus to go. Basically, cool. He's like, so Berklee's a music conservatory, and as far as music theory and everything, he goes, what he wanted to do was make music for the masses, and he realized it wasn't gonna achieve there, you know. You know, you achieve that by doing, not by sitting in a classroom for 4 years. So
interesting.
So, yeah.
I'm fascinated with all your
John Mayer trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So then years later, right, when he releases his blues project, I was already on the train. And then I feel like that's when a lot of dudes like were like, oh, okay, this dude he jammed. Like, yeah. He's been jamming, you know. And so, yeah.
Very cool.
Good. By the way, No Such Thing, great graduation song. Right? That's a pretty good one. What did we do this already?
Maybe.
What is your top five?
Oh, don't top five songs? Me. Oh, no.
Top five?
No.
Top three. Top two. What's your favorite?
School's Out for Summer, of course.
School's Out for Summer, Alice Cooper?
Of course. That's the one and only. No. It has to be number one.
School's Out.
So every year when I was a teacher, I would play it on the last day of school.
Don't do that no more. Because you, ma'am, you don't listen to lyrics.
No, I don't. I would just play that part, the school's out for summer. Uh-huh. I wouldn't play the whole song.
Oh, okay.
But yes, I don't listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, you don't. You're, those are the people that shouldn't be allowed to pick to pick songs.
I should never DJ.
It's like dudes that like dedicate Dear Mama.
Uh-huh.
From Tupac. Mm-hmm. On Mother's Day. But it's like, bro, you work in HR. Like, Dear Mama, Dear Mama, you always was a black queen, Mama. Even when you was a crack fiend, Mama. Is that really what you, that's the message you're trying to send? Your mom? Hugging on my mama from my jail cell. Nah, bro. Like you pay all your taxes. Like, you're a good citizen. Like that, it's not the song for you. It's a good song.
It's a great song.
Maybe not the one you should be dedicating to.
Could you imagine dedicating that to my mom? And I probably would, like, not knowing, you know,
just
like
it all says Dear Mama, yeah, over and over again.
That's hilarious.
Mine was my Mother's Day song was Song for Mama.
Okay.
Which was Boyz II Men.
I don't know if I've heard it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna put y'all through that. But yeah.
Well, you know, I'm horrible with songs and names and people. So
yeah. I would generally stay away from playing any Alice Cooper.
Got it. Noted. So do not put it on
over,
the PA.
Over the PA
on Wednesday. Got it. Okay. So what do you suggest?
I don't know. I was talking about graduations. I mean, maybe not to play in anything at school. I was talking about like
you were talking graduation. I was just talking about the end of
the Vitamin C songs, the Good Riddance by Green Day. There was one I don't remember who played it called The Night. Do you remember that one?
I don't know unless you sing it.
I don't. It was like a hooder version of the Vitamin C song. It was the same thing. It's something about It was about graduation night, but it was like a rap or something like that.
Good Riddance was my graduation song.
Yeah, I felt like that took that had a hold on the generation pretty well. I feel like that was everybody's for a good long while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But let's talk about Waco, because you look like you're falling asleep.
What? No.
You got to go with me to Waco. What do you think?
Oh, I enjoyed it. Is that when, God, I feel like Waco was so long ago. That's when we hung out after, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I really feel like Waco was so long ago. It was so good to like be on the road with you again. I haven't gotten to do that since before Lindsay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been nice to be able to hang out and be your little road dog and mm-hmm. help with merch and stuff. It was cool.
Yeah, you got to help with merch. You got so wrapped up in the show that you forgot to come out and do the merch.
I mean, Jingle was on stage and I was listening to his set. I hadn't seen him in forever. Uh-huh. And I just got so mesmerized that I just, I forgot that I was supposed to be.
I was like, so I guess I'm going to set up the merch. And like, were you going to come help sell some of this stuff, or what's going on? Tell you what, good help is hard to find. Nobody wants to work these days.
I made it out before a good chunk of people.
You did.
I think even before like one person came out because he was still
like sitting in the back.
Yeah.
No, you were there.
I was right on time. Always. Right on time. Moving? I don't know. Did I move?
I don't know. Probably. There you go. I got you situated, girl.
Thank you.
But yeah. Waco, I was glad you were able to join with me. We had a great time out there. A lot of good disc golf courses out there. I got to play at one of the best disc golf courses in the country. They've actually hosted major U.S. pro disc golf tournaments there. And of course, I was way out of my league there. I knew that going in there. I just wanted to. Some of these holes were like 600 feet.
It was crazy.
Away, you know.
You couldn't even see
the basket from where you were throwing it. And just to put it in perspective, okay. Right now, my best is I've probably thrown 180 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's my best. I got short arms, short legs. I mean, I don't know how much further I'm going to ever get to throw.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And I was explaining to you,
yes,
you're like the pars on them. Some of these were par four or whatever.
Yeah.
And so as a pro, you're expected to go under par. And I was explaining to you, some pros are getting to at that 500 to 600 feet mark, they're getting to the basket in the first throw.
That's or crazy. Within,
or what they call the circle.
Uh-huh.
Right. There's two circles. And when you figure out when you're inside of them, then you're within
whatever range
to actually shoot to make it in. Right. That's it's like crazy. Basically like being on the green.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in regular traditional golf.
Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
It felt like I was, you know, out there. Of course, I was enjoying everything nature had to offer, both what was already out there and what I brought with me. And it felt like I was walking in dinosaur footprints. Mm. And did you understand that when I said it?
Well, you had to explain it to me.
Okay.
Didn't you?
Did I explain it to you out there? I don't know if I. There's a. I want to say it was. It had to have been Jurassic Park, where they're like in like. There's a scene where like they're talking, and you can't tell where they're at. Like behind them, it just looks like a wall of dirt or like mm-hmm. like a mountain or a rock wall or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the camera pans out, and you see that they're actually inside of a dinosaur's footprint.
Right.
And that's what it felt like. I was like I'm so tiny compared to this course and my abilities and what I can do. But what's amazing to think is there's actual human beings that play this
mm-hmm.
like how I play my course at home.
Yeah.
Like just relaxing or whatever. Like there was kids out there.
There were.
Like getting coached and stuff. And I think there was a, you know, father and son. I lost two discs out there. I think I spoke that into existence because I was talking to you about the water and like how there's a lot of water hazards out there and how nerve wracking it is for people and you lose disc. And I was like, I was telling you how I kind of feel like to me, I guess there's losing disc and that's a very shitty part of
the game.
Right. Cause in regular golf, you lose a ball, whatever, fine. You can fucking buy another ball. Very rarely do you lose a club, you know, unless it breaks, and even then you can still get it fixed, whatever, yada yada yada. But in disc golf, like you're letting this thing rip and it's floating and there's a chance that you're not going to get this thing back. If it goes into some of these waters, you're not going in there. You don't know what's in there.
Yeah,
unless it's like right there at the edge where you can get it out with the there's different, you know, gadgets and poles
that
you can use or whatever. But you're going into murkish waters.
This water was dark, moccasins
and shit in there. Like you know, I'm not going in there for a piece of plastic.
Yeah.
But I was telling you, I was like, I feel like. Like part of it's a story. Like if you're gonna lose a disc, at least you get the story of of losing the disc.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so the park I played is called Brazos Park East. In the disc golf world, it's known as the Beast. Okay.
Okay.
And so I'm okay with having lost. I lost one of the discs that I bought in El Paso. I don't know if you, those of y'all that listen, we ran in when I was in El Paso. I went to go play and I ran into a U.S. champion.
Yes.
Disc golfer out there that was giving a workshop, and I got a couple of discs from him too and signed. Mm-hmm. I lost one of those in the water, hole five at the Beast. And I'm okay with that because at least I know where it's at. And the funny part is even on TikTok a few days later, I saw some pro tournament, some clip from some pro tournament, some
a female disc golfer put one
yeah
in the water,
in the water,
almost the exact same spot where I lost it.
Yeah, that was cool.
So I don't know. I mean, you know what I'm saying? My fuck around GoPro, you know?
I believe it. I think you can. I've already seen your game improve, like, in just this short time you've been doing it.
I'm planning. I played twice this weekend, mm-hmm. Memorial Day weekend. I played on Saturday and I played today.
Mm-hmm.
I've been following this one disc golfer who's lost close to about 100 pounds in the last year, but he plays every day.
Okay.
So, you know, and I'm not trying to lose too much because I think it would, honestly, I don't think it'd be fair.
Like, fair for who?
Huh?
Fair for who?
For everybody, for the rest of the world. I don't feel like people like would be able to handle. Like, if I look this good at like 400 pounds. Like, could you imagine me? Come on. It wouldn't be fair. People wouldn't be able to concentrate on like my jokes and stuff. Like,
true. You know what I'm true. Like, yeah.
So I figure if I play every other day, you know, then I'll be okay.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah.
Very cool. I didn't know that someone lost 100 pounds just disc golfing every day.
I mean, he looked. I mean, that's great. I sent you the video of the guy. I mean, he's definitely lost a considerable amount. That was my guess. Guessing from how big he was a year ago to how he is now.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, that's wow. Awesome.
I mean, a lot of people don't realize, you know, because he was sharing a video because, of course, you know, TikTok people got to comment dumb shit.
Of course.
All the time. So he was talking about how someone said, oh, maybe try a more active sport, which, yeah. I mean, that's part of the appeal as a bigger person. Like, it's not, you're not going to, like, be unable to move the next day. More than likely, like, but there are some more physical demanding courses where you gotta actually like
climb little hills, yeah,
and get in some pretty tight spots and shit.
Yeah,
but just even if just on an open course, the zigzagging. I mean, you're on 18 holes, you're putting in about 2 miles of walking, mm-hmm. And it's not like golf. There's no golf cart.
Right.
For disc golf. Because you're playing in public parks.
Right.
So you're walking.
You're just walking.
This whole thing.
Yeah. So I can definitely see that.
So it's definitely, you know, and there's, like I said, you're walking up inclines and hills and stuff like that. So it's definitely, there's an exercise element to it. So I'm enjoying it. I'm glad I got to play at the Beast. And I can't wait to go back and play a little bit more of it and hopefully, you know, give it a little bit more of a go.
Yeah. But the second time you lost the disc, you knew you were going to lose that disc.
Yes, I did.
The first one, you didn't know you were going to lose.
I did. So the second time, okay, little my motivational moment, put some inspirational music behind this, about not letting, you know, it's about, we're playing the beast, it's about conquering the beast. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I already lost my favorite disc.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next hole had a shot that actually went straight over the water.
Straight over
the water.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you wanted to go around.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And I made a decision.
Yes, you did.
On that course that day, I said, don't let fear control you, Javi.
Uh-huh.
Put this on TikTok and send it to somebody. There's going to be moments in your life.
Yes, sir.
Where you can either let the fear define you. I love it when you guys send me these motivational things in the middle of the fucking week. It's fucking going great for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I said, I can either let the fact that I lost that disc change the way I play this next hole.
Right.
Right. But it's like you're here. You never get to play a course like this that has, there's no courses around here that have water hazards and stuff like that. I was like, see what you can do. Give it your best fucking shot.
Yeah.
And if you lose another disc, oh wow. Well.
Yeah.
You know, you buy more discs.
Right.
It's okay. It's part of the hobby, you know. So I gave it everything I had, you know, and I came up short, but it was okay.
Yeah.
And then the hole right after that had a shot over a ravine through a pretty tight trees, what you call a tunnel shot.
Uh-huh. It was crazy
and
insane.
And even you tried to tell me, you know, maybe to go around it, right? Take an extra shot.
Yeah.
And go
because the basket seems in such an awkward, like I just, yeah, right. I was like, just go around. Right.
But even just to get over those, if you didn't quite get over that ravine and it went down in there, it was too steep to climb down and get your disc. If you hit a tree and it fell,
yeah.
You know, if you didn't throw it hard enough to get over, whatever. And I was like, you know, I gotta do it.
Here we go.
And I made that shot through the tunnel over the ravine, and it was a good feeling.
Yeah, right?
You know, so
that was awesome. It was very awesome, and that was the one that I did not record like an idiot.
It's okay. Hey, it doesn't matter.
I think because I was like, just like, oh my god, is he gonna make it?
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to make this a disc golf episode on y'all, but that was a big part of the Waco trip, and you just found out you're going to be joining me at the House of Blues show in Houston, June 16th, and also I'm adding Sugarland. I don't know if I've announced it on the podcast yet. The very next night, Sugarland, Texas, which is right outside Houston, I'm doing my own show on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So House of Blues is going to sell out. So sure. If you don't either didn't get enough of me or you didn't get a chance to go see me there, go see me in Sugarland the next night. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a small venue. I think it's like 60 seats. It's me, myself. I invited Bubba Flores over from Victoria.
Nice.
Funny, funny guy. I love working with him. I wish I got to work with him more often. He's out in the middle of nowhere. Victoria's halfway between here and Houston. So he's going to drive up for the night. It's Father's Day weekend. If you're not in the Houston area, can't make it out, at least tell a couple folks. And then also added Fort Worth, Texas, and Hyenas Comedy Club in the Red Room, maybe.
Because
we're starting out where we can, man. We're taking wherever it's the smaller room in the venue, only 80 seats. It's all good.
Yeah,
let's sell it out, man, and let this club know, like, man. Whoa, who's this guy? Who's this guy over here that we have refused to book for the last 10 years? And he comes in first time selling out the Red Room.
Hell yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
All right. And then next time I come to Fort Worth, you know, we'll talk about doing the Big Room.
Wow. Yes. Put that out there.
So speak that into existence. If you got people in the Fort Worth area, let them know your boy's coming. Tell them about the special. They can watch the special before, because guess what? I'm bringing on new shit.
Watch out now.
New heat, new fire. It's what I do.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm looking forward to that, man. I'm looking forward to adding it. Talks about we got a few other things, irons in the fire. You know, of course, looking forward to Denver at the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
Also talking about linking up with a few other faces that I haven't worked with in a handful of years, and maybe doing some joint shows around and about,
and
I'm down to link, you know, and being my productive boy air, you know.
Hell yeah, man.
We're already at 40 minutes. 42 minutes.
Let's just end it.
An article. All right. Well, guys, thank y'all so much for dealing with us. Like I said, taking the little break in between there. I hate when we have to do that to y'all, but sometimes life and everything just into the school year stuff and personal life stuff. But we'll always come back. We'll never leave you completely high and dry. So thank y'all for listening, man. And we'll talk to y'all next week, man. Y'all have a great week. One love.